Hey, welcome to Sentinel Watch. I'm David Brown. Joining us today is Abigail Matheson Warwick. She is a teacher of Christian Science, and she's also in the full-time practice of healing. It's great to have you on Sentinel Watch, Abigail. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
I get carried away with the fact that we're talking with someone on the other side of the world. Did you grow up in Australia?
A little bit. I grew up in several countries, but I spent a few years of my early childhood in Australia.
You have a wonderful story that goes back a couple of generations. I understand that when your father was very young, there's a remarkable healing in your family, and it sounds like that set everyone in the direction of Christian Science some time ago. Am I onto something there?
Yes, that's correct. A wonderful healing, actually, in what is now Karachi, Pakistan, but was British India back then. Beautiful healing, yes, that really brought our family into science and certainly was a groundbreaking event for me.
Could you share it with us? I would love to hear it.
Well, sure. My grandparents were living at that time, as I mentioned, in Karachi. They had lost their first son to the diseases that were very prevalent in that area at the time, including cancer and polio. And my dad, who was their third son, contracted the same diseases as a very young child. My grandfather was the director of the British Railway in the country, and he had five of the best physicians on the case, but they gave it up, as they had for the first child. And I think at that stage, my grandfather was prepared to try anything. And it just so happened that a neighbor who'd heard about the sadness in the family came over with a copy of Science and Health. He was not a Christian Scientist, but he'd heard that that book could heal. And he gave it to my grandfather. And my grandfather gratefully accepted it and sat right down and started reading. 4 days later, two of the physicians came to the home because they hadn't seen the child's obituary in the newspaper. And when they saw him, he was paralyzed from the neck down and couldn't speak. They said he'll never walk or talk again, even if he survives. And within 2 weeks, he was completely healed through my grandfather continuing to read Science and Health.
Wow.
And my grandparents were Christians. And so they had a love of the Bible already. My father went on to live a very active life. He served in the Second World War, active duty for 6 years, as did my grandfather. My grandparents began holding church services in their home for the community, which was pretty much all Indian, which was unusual at the time in the 1920s. But my grandfather was a supporter of Indian independence. So he opened his home and he also started his own practice. Many of the Indians came to the home, my dad told me, he remembered as a child, and had wonderful healings from that time on. And of course, my dad also accepted science with such a wonderful healing in his childhood and was a wonderful example to me. So I couldn't help but just love science from a child.
I bet you couldn't, seeing all of these remarkable healings. And, well, when did you decide that this would become something that you would do full time? I mean, that's a pretty big leap to take.
Well, yes, it is. Although I had seen beautiful healings in my own life and my parents growing up, at around age 12, I became very ill with a life-threatening condition that did not yield. But I really committed myself. I just loved science and I felt if it's true, it will work. And although the condition did not yield quickly, it was 10 years or more before I got complete freedom from that condition. It did ease and I became less fearful about it and I did get my complete healing. But I remember it was during those years where I really had to rely on it many times I had a practitioner, but many times I worked by myself to alleviate primarily the fear. It was a very fearful condition. And I think I got my metaphysical legs at that age, and I remember thinking, I want to help others find healing like this. So although I went on to have an academic career, always in the back of my mind was this desire to enter the public practice.
That is such a wonderful story, my gosh. Do you remember what it was like to join Christian Science Church? You must have been very young.
Yes. Well, I joined the Mother Church at 12, and then I joined my branch church in my early teens because I loved it. I went to church with my father every Wednesday night and also Sunday nights, even though I was in Sunday school Sunday morning. He would go in the evenings as well, and I accompanied him. And then at 17, when I started university, I started a college org at the University of Cape Town by myself. And I remember holding my meetings alone for about a year. But at the end of 4 years, we had 7 regular attendees. Mm-hmm. And we'd put on 2 public lectures, one of which had 20 people come from the religious studies department, and they stayed for 2 hours to discuss the lecture afterwards. So it was a very active time, and I felt just a wonderful opportunity to share Christian Science on the campus.
I want to go back to something that you said, that you were 12 years old when you joined the Mother Church. Could you say more about that, especially for people who might not understand, you know, the Mother Church and this idea of branch churches? What's that about?
Sure. Well, the Mother Church is, I think of as our worldwide organization. Through the Mother Church, all the branches find their connection. So we're all united, all the churches around the world are united through the Mother Church, which also provides our publishing society, including this interview, through the Christian Science Sentinel, which is one of the weekly publications, and our Bible lesson, which forms the basis of our Sunday services. So joining the Mother Church is really, to me, is supporting the worldwide outreach. Just thinking about church, the effectiveness of working together instead of working alone. We're just much more able to do greater things if we join together.
You know, it's interesting. I've thought many times about when I first joined the church, and I was about the same age. It was when it was first possible to do so. And I've also often thought about the wisdom that kids seem to have when they're going for something that, you know, that they especially love. And listening to you talk about how it's supporting a movement, and this movement of spiritual healing, it's a very adult, very grown-up way of thinking about church membership. Do you remember what you were thinking back when you were 12 years old and the opportunity presented itself to join?
Well, because that's when my health challenge came along, but I just naturally loved Christian Science. You know, it's sort of a case of what's not to love. And this is in South Africa, which was going through a very difficult political time. So life wasn't easy. I think many of us who grew up through those years, you had a fairly serious attitude to life because of the tension in the politics, which was in your face every day. So I think I was a fairly serious-minded child, but also had a sense of the need in the world for the love of Christ, for us to do as much as we can to help people. I think many young people at that age are quite idealistic, actually. Mm-hmm. I think that's the age where we start thinking, you know, what can I do for the world?
Right. And this was something that you could do. You could be a part of this global community of people who contemplated the world as a better place from a metaphysical standpoint.
Yes, I'd seen it be effective. If it wasn't effective, I don't think I would have chosen it.
You know, it's often been pointed out, and I think by some Sunday school students I have in mind right now, that you know, you can study Christian Science, the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, on your own. And there's no place, of course, where you're separated from God's love, which is something that we certainly learn about from an early age in a Christian Science Sunday school. But I think a lot of people have different thoughts about the importance of church and what it means to be a member of a church. My dad used to say he was a member of a church because he wanted to plant his flag. You know, he wanted to sort of be counted, you know, as someone who was a student of Christian Science. But I also think he loved the idea of community and being among other people who were studying and talking and thinking about these ideas from the Bible and from science and health. Could you say a little bit more about what it's like to be a member?
Sure. I mean, I have a lot of lovely examples, and I was thinking about them when I was thinking about talking on this show. And one that's come quickly to mind right now was several years ago during the Iraq War. I was praying about that situation mm-hmm. here in Melbourne, and I was serving in our local reading room, which is like a bookshop where we sell copies of Science and Health and these publications of Christian Science. And a man walked in who looked Middle Eastern. He took my hands in his and kissed them. And of course, I was a little bit taken aback. But then he said to me very intently, "Abigail, you changed my mind." And he repeated that several times. And I wondered how he knew my name. And then as I looked at him, I began to recognize that he was one of three men who'd walked into our church service the previous Sunday when I had been the reader who conducts the service. So he'd heard me reading from the Bible and our textbook, Science and Health. He told me he was an Iraqi Christian, and a month ago his brother had been kidnapped in Iraq. The captors were threatening to execute him if the demands were not met. So we talked about God's government and presence in all conditions to guide and move human motives. And then he left. I hadn't been aware of that particular hostage situation, but I looked it up in the news. And a few days later, I read that his brother was released unharmed, even though the hostage demands weren't met.
Wow.
It was so touching to witness this man's change of heart, that he'd just walked into our Sunday service, whatever I'd read that he said changed his mind, and then he found out about the reading room, which wasn't far away, and sought me out to come and share what had meant so much to him. And to me, this was such a beautiful expression of church, our inspired Bible lesson from the Publishing Society, our church services, and our reading room, bringing healing to a stranger and his connection with a war zone in a country far away. And it just demonstrates again that church is very much a public healing activity. It's an acknowledgement that we need one another and that we're able to help one another. And I think when this unselfish purpose is seen and expressed, it does counter the dark suggestions that we're divided entities, unable to do much good, in fact, more likely to hurt one another. Our work for church affirms that good is natural, universal. On another occasion, the nurse superintendent at one of our city's most prestigious hospitals put her head into the reading room when I was there and just called out, "You Christian Scientists have the right idea. It's not drugs that heal patients. It's the love of the nurses."
Whoa.
It was really good to hear her comment. And of course, we would agree that love heals, but we'd be referring to the love that is God. Mm-hmm. And church is very much a way of expressing the love we feel from God and sharing it more broadly, even with those who may not attend our services, but do feel our presence.
I love how you express church activity as healing. I think sometimes we think of the Wednesday evening services going to hear healings in those services. But the way you were describing it, and that says a lot too, because I know many people, and I would probably include myself in this, who may not have had any inkling of an opportunity that just sort of presents itself, as this man presented himself at church, and that, you know, obviously you played an important role in his thinking about this situation, which of course had a healing impact. It's funny, isn't it, that sometimes we find that in ways that we haven't foreseen, church activity does have that healing effect.
Yes, it definitely does. I mean, more directly, also a couple of years ago, an Ethiopian man walked into our church. He'd recently arrived in Australia and immigrated. Mm-hmm. And I went up to greet him. I could see he was a visitor. And we got into conversation. And during the conversation, he mentioned that he was concerned about a breathing problem that he'd had for some time. He'd had several doctors treat it, and it was getting worse. I'd given up the medications, but he was worried because he needed to start work soon. Well, I offered to pray with him, which he accepted, and he was completely healed within a couple of days. And he was so thrilled, he asked me what he could do to show his gratitude. And I said to him, he could write up his healing and send it in for publication to this magazine, which he did, and it was published in the Sentinel.
Oh my gosh, what a terrific story.
Yeah, this sharing and willingness to be present in the public, just like the church is. I think if members recognize, I think there are opportunities all around us. Anybody sharing a problem is really, generally, most of the time, asking for help. And we have, not personally, but because we have the textbook, because we have the Christ, are able to share that with them.
Well, I love what you're sharing right now. And I also love what you say there about we have the Christ. I think so often people hear that and they think of, you know, Christ Jesus, the person. But as Jesus demonstrated so many times in his life, it was that spirit of the Christ that animated him, that spirit that he demonstrated through his healings. And of course, he encouraged his followers to demonstrate that spirit of the Christ as well. That's a huge idea that I picked up as a member of the Christian Science Church, the branch church and the mother church. And when I think about it, it's just one of many lessons, you know, really. Abigail, I'm imagining there may be listeners who've given thought to joining the mother church or a branch church as they go through their own personal journey of understanding and discovering much of what you're talking about, but maybe for one reason or another, they haven't actually joined the church. What would you say to them? Is church membership right for everyone?
Well, I would see it as absolutely vital for everybody's progress. I think anybody who joins, there are other ways you can make progress. I'm not saying it's the only way, but I'm saying that it does offer, I think, a fairly unparalleled opportunity to develop our lives, to bring meaning to them, because I think at some point everybody faces the fact that the world needs as much help and love, you could call it the Christ, as we can express, understand, demonstrate. And church is designed not so much as some kind of institution where you become a member like a club, mm-hmm. but as a force of like-minded people working to bring that light of love more into expression in all of our experiences. So, you know, most of us are looking for ways. We want to make a difference. We want to help. If we can get out of all the stereotypes of what church is, and that is often clearing out our own thinking more than other people's. We think it's other people, but often it's our own pictures that are either too small or too limited, too material, that don't see the opportunity of what church really is, as the prophets expressed them, as Jesus and the apostles did, and as many followers through the ages and since Mrs. Eddy's discovery have shown what a difference it can make to hold true to your spiritual values, bring them to bear in the world. That unselfishness, I think, is one of the greatest powers we have.
Mrs. Eddy, Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, and the author of this book that we've been talking about, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, has in that book a glossary of terms that are frequently used. And of course, church does come up. And she defines church in part as the structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. That's a very active notion, it strikes to me. You know, a church isn't just something that you sit on the back pew and listen to the readings. It involves activity.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we are all the beneficiaries, supremely, first of all, of Christ Jesus when we think of the activity of his life. It was enormous, but as well as his followers and the prophets, Jesus didn't just heal for himself. His mandate was to give it to the world. And I think without him following up on that, it would have been bereft of its spiritual animus, which is unselfishness, the compassion that cannot resist helping where help is needed. And I think our own sense of moral obligation, as well as spiritual obligation, means that in being beneficiaries of the work and sacrifice that have gone before us, means we want to reciprocate in a way that's effective, that also makes a difference. So yes, we absolutely need to be active. Church is active. I think the word spirit is one of the most active terms that we have. It's practical. Mm-hmm. It demands change.
Abby, let me ask you something. To the extent that we're talking about doing things, if someone is considering church membership, what should they do? Who do they talk to? Who do they see? How do you go about that?
Well, usually the desire to join church is because you know somebody and you can see its impact on their life. So, mm-hmm. you know, I would choose somebody that you feel you can see how that church membership has broadened their sense of opportunity and activity. So anybody who's already a member, of course, any Christian Science practitioner, because they've committed full time, so they're definitely going to share with you a sense of its deeper meaning and capacity to support your growth and your opportunity to help support others. I think they go hand in hand.
It's delightful to think about, and I love the way that you approach this as a sort of a blue sky. Let's try to imagine church in a bigger sense. And I want to invite our listeners, because we have some really terrific listeners who are very thoughtful about these subjects. I want to invite them to weigh in on what church is to them and maybe how they imagine church growing. CSSentinel.com/audio comments. If you type that into your web browser, it'll take you to a special page that we've set up for you so that you can send us your comments using your smartphone. It's very easy to do and walk you right through it at this web address. CSSentinel.com/audio comments. That's CSSentinel.com/audio comments. We would love to hear from you. Don't forget about sending your testimonies as well, because we know you have them. We've been speaking with a very special guest from Australia, Abigail Matheson Warwick, CSB. That means she's a teacher of Christian Science, and she is also in the full-time practice of Christian Science Healing, a practitioner. Abby, it's been great to get to say hello to you from quite a distance, halfway around the world, but you seem so close. Thanks so much for taking time to talk with us on Sentinel Watch.
Thank you, David. It's been a real pleasure to be here.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.